Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, loving understanding and the resolving of human differences. And before we start, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization. The Lucis Trust Organization sponsors this show. Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature, and the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. The law of loving understanding is a term for a scientific expression of a great evolutionary development in human consciousness. But until that development is an accomplished fact, we have no means to express its true spiritual significance. Even Alice Bailey finds it hard to express some concepts. What do you think she means by loving understanding?
Well, it's one of those terms that is dangerously close to sentimentality and therefore is potentially kind of innocuous to a lot of people. It's a nice idea, but the world is in the shape it's in because we don't have any commitment to loving understanding. Reality makes it impossible, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, the ageless wisdom says that loving understanding is actually a fundamental spiritual law. And that is probably verified in the Bible, which said that the law of all laws is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. That is the whole law. All the rest is commentary, the rabbi said. And if that is the whole law, then he was on to something, too, that loving understanding is not just a nice idea, but in fact a law that governs human relations. Surely, in the present time, with the election that's just recently passed, we need loving understanding. The nation has been so divided in its views and pulled apart by the preference for one candidate or another, let alone this war in the Middle East that divides some of the people of the world from others. The world cries out for loving understanding.
Yes, it certainly does, and it's not easy to do when there is such a divisiveness in the human consciousness and in the nations and in between people and even between families, for goodness sakes.
Or within a family.
Yeah, and so it's interesting to try to understand this whole thing as you say, it's a law, as a divine law that actually governs not only just human relations, but it governs all life on earth.
I think one of the keys is in that statement from the Bible that makes this a law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Not you shall love your neighbor because he's a nice person, even if you don't really believe that. No, we should love our neighbor as an expression of ourself. There's a fundamental recognition in that statement that we are, in fact, one. Mm-hmm. And that what we see in others is a reflection of ourselves and our own humanity.
And it's also a law that increases the flow of love in the world. In other words, Anytime you express love or goodwill towards another person, you are expressing a respect for that other person. In other words, you take the time to listen to that person, to his point of view, and take into account what he has to say. And the minute you do that, you are setting up a relationship, and some energy of goodwill begins to flow. And that is the whole key to the world of relationships. when you listen to another person's point of view, you're actually creating a harmonious relationship, and that's the beginning of understanding.
I think that's a great need on the part of people to be heard, but most of us are more engaged in saying what we think, aren't we? We're expressing ourselves, our ideas. Some of us shouting at each other on the talk shows, on radio and television. Mm-hmm. The whole point is to get across your point of view and as loudly as possible. That is not the way you understand loving understanding. But learning to listen to others, to hear their real need and their level of consciousness, which is often sensed not by the words they speak, but by a more subjective recognition of their essential spiritual need and their humanity that we have in common. All of this is part of the understanding that's coming with the new age, what's called the Aquarian Age. And so we are very new to this. The present age, which is drawing to a close, has been one that the ageless wisdom says is governed by the law of cleavages. Now, there's a reason for that. A cleavage is a separation, and the past age has led to the development of the mind, of the intellect. We can see this in the expansion of universal education, the tremendous growth in literacy over the last, 2,000 years. The average person today is infinitely better informed than the real intellectuals of 1,000 years ago, probably. And that mental development is the same faculty that lends us to discriminate, to discern, to analyze, and all of that fosters the law of cleavages. And yet we need our mind. We need analysis. Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it brings to mind the old adage that the mind is slayer of the real.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the ultimate kind of cleavage. It slays that which is which we've created, which we believe is real. And what am I going to say? The mind is also the midway point. It's also the interpretive of the soul and the higher self and the loving nature of the soul. And once the mind can get past the analytical process that usually stands in the way and creates all of this negativity, then it opens itself up to that more loving nature to come through.
I think that we see more and more of an effort underway in the world to work with loving understanding in spite of the evidence to the contrary. We see it in the growth of the United Nations and of many different international forums that bring together people from widely different cultures to share ideas, to share their problems, their concerns, and to gradually build up a sense of trust and understanding, if not agreement, at least a capacity to understand their point of view and their experience. All of this kind of thing is becoming much more frequent today than even 20 years ago, and that's a sign of encouragement. The fact that peacekeeping is such an issue and peacemaking shows that the community of nations in the world is more concerned now with maintaining peace, and if war has broken out, to figure out ways to bring an end to war instead of just letting the opposing parties slug it out. Conflict resolution is more and more an art form in solving human problems. We're making real strides, and yet until we have a sense of our oneness, I don't think we're really going to be able to work with loving understanding when encountering people that we really disagree with, people that we really have fundamental differences with. And maybe after the break we can talk a bit more on how to apply this loving understanding with disagreements.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, loving understanding and the resolving of human differences. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing, and that is the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. And it's a good book to start off with because it's a cross-section of all the themes that you'll find in all 24 volumes of Alice Bailey literature. And, of course, the themes are abridged within Ponder on This, and it gives you an idea to prioritize those topics that you want to explore in greater depth, perhaps later on in the larger volumes. It's available. The special offer, it comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's available now for $16, and what you need to do is send a check or a money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You do have to mention that you, to get the discount, you have to mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight in order to get the free shipping and handling. And once again, it's a check for $16. Ask for Ponder on This. Mention that you heard it on Inner Sight. Send it to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We have a general package of information that tells you all about Lucis Trust. And most frequently asked question is Lucis Trust a religion? No, it's not. It's a spiritual philosophy organization. And so many people from all walks of life, various religious backgrounds, attend meetings and read the Alice Bailey literature. If you'd like to ask for the general package of information or order books or copies of radio shows or schedules of our meditation meetings, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. We appreciate your donations, by the way. We thank you very much for your financial support. That's what keeps us on the air. And we certainly hope that you continue to do so. If you'd like to send donations to help keep us on the radio show, we'd certainly appreciate it. Send those donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Our website, www.lucistrustdog.org. And on that website, you can hear all of our previously archived radio shows. I was wondering, how does humanity apply the loving understanding? That's a hard thing to do sometimes.
Yes, it is, especially with people that you really disagree with. And it's not easy, but one way to begin is to try to stop analyzing the situation and the person, because when you're analyzing and interpreting them, you're seeing them through your own dislike and unhappiness with them, and you tend to just reinforce the qualities in them that you think are negative and unappealing. If you can strip all that veneer away and simply see them in the light of their own soul, each morning, if you're having a difficulty with someone, simply take them into the light in your silent meditative consciousness. Don't analyze them. Don't imagine them doing anything that you would prefer that they do, or thinking or saying anything that would meet your standards. Just see them as souls in incarnation, as you are. That stimulation of light can do wonders for their own growth and for your ability to see past the difficulty. the problem takes on a certain power and a certain becomes a certain kind of veil or curtain that blocks you from really seeing the humanity of the other person. So holding them in the light without analysis is a good step. Another thing to keep in mind is to constantly strive to distinguish between essentials and non-essentials. A lot of disagreements that get in the way of loving understanding have to do with our all-too-human need to be right, to win. It's a dominance kind of thing. We want to be right. We want to overcome the other person's view by showing that we're more right than he is. If you give up that need and instead ask yourself, is this point I'm trying to make really essential? Is it really a principle, or am I just trying to score one? That can help you find a new footing.
Yes, and you have to decide. I mean, we're talking about the law of loving understanding, and as we mentioned earlier, there is also the law of cleavage, and you can operate under either one of these laws if you so choose. And if you want to operate by the law of cleavage, then you will stay angry, you will stay distrustful, you will stay in a state of dislike towards this other person, perhaps, and then that's where it will end. There will be no forward progress. But if you really want to move the relationship forward, then, as you say, it's bringing in the qualities of love of the soul into your life, and that begins the flow of the energy of love. And that's what ultimately has to work out on planet Earth and through humanity. So now is it time to begin the process.
There's a lot of work being done these days with forgiveness. It started, there are many different efforts I've heard about. There's an International Forgiveness Day that's been promoted for years between individuals. We've seen forgiveness on a national scale in the Truth and Reconciliation Commissions in South Africa, and I think before that in Argentina, where people are helped to put the past to rest. And maybe the law of loving understanding depends upon looking to the future. We can't really remake the past. It is essentially what it is, but we can create a new future. And if we choose to look forward and to put the continuation of the relationship over of greater importance than settling some disagreement that now exists in the past, that's another way to foster loving understanding. What I'm trying to say is there's a statement in the writings of Alice Bailey that says, goodwill is the touchstone that will transform the future. And goodwill is a power because it has to do with our future intention. We intend good. We will good. In making that decision, we are generating conditions that I think do foster right relationships, and they have nothing to do with what has occurred in the past. You leave that behind consciously.
And I think so much of what happened in the past, and it was so graphically apparent in the last 100 or 150 years with all the wars that we've fought, that we've had this law of cleavage was kind of the dominant law. And now that is beginning to change, and more people by the thousands throughout the world and many nations of the world are beginning to respond to the law of love. And this is why there is so much effort on so many part of so many people to try to understand what's going on before this kind of knee-jerk reaction to start another war, another conflict. And so it's already beginning to change, and that's what has to be cultivated.
There are examples in history that show us how, even on an individual basis, we can accomplish this law of loving understanding or serve it. One that comes to mind is Lincoln at the close of the Civil War, when he called on all Americans to put the past to rest and put the welfare of the nation as a whole over the differences of the side they had stood on and during the war. Nelson Mandela was another example of a magnanimous spirit that truly was able to reach out to the very people who had held him captive for, 27 years. He invited one of his guards to his wedding, I think. And, wow. Yeah, he truly forgave. And he found in forgiving that he himself was liberated. That's the thing. It's liberating for you when you vow to establish a new relationship with people. So gradually, I think that we are learning to practice this law, but until we have a real commitment to brotherhood, until we really live lives that are guided by the belief that all people are one, it's going to be a big effort.
Yes, it's interesting you mentioned that word liberated, because we're so freedom-loving in this country, but we don't realize that we are imprisoned more by our negative beliefs, and we would be so much more free and liberated, actually, from all of this if we would just allow this loving understanding to work through us. It's another law that we can begin to respond to, but it takes the quality, like a Mandela or an Abraham Lincoln, to help bind up the nation's wounds and bind up your own wounds with your friends and your adversaries. So, but it takes courage. I mean, we talk about courage these days, but it takes really courage to overcome these barriers that we set up within ourselves.
Part of our lack of courage has to do, I think, with our regard for our own selves and whether we really believe we have the ability to love and understand when we think we've been wronged. We are so afraid of exhibiting a critical spirit that we think we have to just turn a blind eye to the facts. And I'm not saying that that's what is required. We can learn to recognize the reality of a situation and see people in clear-eyed terms, because all of us are works in progress, and we can't say, well, I'm going to see this person as a perfected being when we know perfectly well that he or she is not, just as we are not. We're a mixture of good and bad. We have to see people as they are. But in spite of all their pettiness and their grandeur, they are human beings and therefore by that very fact divine in potential. And if we think of our loved ones, we can see faults and weaknesses in the people we really love, and our reaction is to love them even more. Well, that should be our reaction to all human beings in whom we see failure or a slipping up. We should love them all the more. But we're afraid that we're going to be critical and judgmental, so we just kind of turn a blind eye to it. And I think that's a kind of a false goodwill that we're not asking of people.
And I'd like to mention that there is also a thing that happens within every person's own body, because anger, for example, creates a blockage between, for example, your solar plexus or your solar plexus center, where your feeling nature is located. And it creates a blockage between that solar plexus and the heart center, which is the center for the expression of love. So anger tends to isolate us and focus our consciousness in that lower center. And so it easily reacts to the law of cleavage. But if we allow that energy to flow upward to the heart center and liberate ourselves from these feelings of adversity and negativity that we have, then the energy is going to flow upward and that loving nature is going to pour forth more easily.
Yes, something is released, I think, in that loving heart. Alice Bailey said, when the heart is full of love and the head is full of wisdom, nothing then is ever done that can cause distress to others in the long run. In other words, she was saying you can make a decision, you can handle yourself in a particular way that you think is just and necessary, perhaps even deal quite drastically with a condition or a situation that needs correcting, but we can trust that the outcome will be correct and correct for all concerned because we are motivated by love and by a sense of identification with our brother, even though the action we're taking might be quite drastic and quite decisive. So we're not saying to people, well, you have to be a doormat and not respond to any wrongdoing. It's not that. It's that the consciousness has to be one of love for a human being, even when that person is erring, and stand with them in consciousness, even as you take the line of action that you think is necessary.
So it comes right down to us. It's up to you. It's up to the other person to work out this problem, to allow the energy to flow. And that's really what it comes down to on planet Earth, is allowing and liberating that energy to flow through the world. And that's where the light of God begins to radiate more vividly and brightly through human actions, as the energy of love and loving understanding begins to flow through the world.
Maybe a good exercise would be to take one person or one group of people that you really feel is antithetical to who you are and what you value, and hold that person or group in the light of the soul and see them as the soul in incarnation. Doing that habitually will open up this love of loving understanding.
Please take advantage of our special offer from Lucis Publishing, which is the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This, which is a compilation of extracts from all 24 volumes by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16. The discount comes in the form of free shipping and handling, so it would ordinarily be a lot more than $16. Send check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So check our money order for $16. Free shipping and handling only if you mention that you heard about it on Inner Sight. Also, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's for the general package of information. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.